What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our megachurch a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community. It's a treat and a treasure. And per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us bling, Hallie. How are you?
Awesome. So good. So blessed. How are your kids in Climax, Gray?
Oh, they are doing great. I spent my whole weekend just building a lot of relational equity with them.
That is awesome. And relational equity, by that you mean?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I know what you mean. Okay. Yeah, I don't either. Okay. I'm praising him, Gray. I'm praising him because our shiny new Christian Supreme Court delivered 3 big wins in just 3 days this week. It just feels like all we do is win.
Oh, it feels so good to finally win.
And 3 big win. I mean, we won another great gun thing.
Okay.
We won abortion.
Okay.
And we won prayer on the 50-yard line. And, you know, we're about to win no gay marriage and no gay sex and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, you have to look it up. But, you know, white evangelicals have been gunning for this for decades, you know?
I know.
I do wonder, though, now that we've got the thing that we've been fighting for, like, what are we going to unite against as a common enemy? You know, we're so good at being against stuff. Like,
right.
What are we going to do with ourselves?
Well, you know, I just think there's probably a lot of stuff out there that we are against.
That's true. You know, voting.
Right.
Bathrooms.
Yeah, totally.
Books.
Definitely.
Drag queens, vaccines,
Yep.
The free press.
Huh. That is right. I'm thinking, you know, twerking and, you know, trap music.
True. Right. I'm thinking CRT. I'm thinking BLM.
Uh-huh.
CNN.
Yeah.
MSN.
Totally.
MSG.
Yeah.
GNC.
Well, no, I mean, that is where I get my creatine, Hallie. So I didn't know we were against that.
Birth control.
Yes, definitely.
Public health.
Yep.
Public schools.
Yep.
Public libraries.
Yeah. Oh, really? Are we against those?
Oh, well, you know, because they're filled with the homeless.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's getting stinky.
Yeah,
in there.
Definitely.
You know, cheeky bikini bottoms. Rosie O'Donnell.
Yep.
Religious trauma.
Yep.
Deconstruction. Woke stuff.
Yep.
The radical left.
Yep.
Science. Sasha and Malia, they're old now, fair game.
That's right.
Yeah. What else is there?
Hallie, you're forgetting the most important one.
Oh, Satan.
No, pronouns.
Oh, yeah. We are totally going to start pronouns. And then we're going to go after adverbs. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Just like Jesus picked his 12 most important people to follow him, our guest today caters to the very important Christ followers in our community. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Raleigh Cheer. Welcome to the program.
Oh, blessings, blessings, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. To be asked to be a guest here is such an incredible honor. I spend a lot of my time behind the people who are behind the microphone. So to be in front of... Well, I guess I still am behind the microphone, but one row closer to it. So I am familiar with it, but I'm just proximity wise, I am closer. This is a real thrill.
Well, it's so nice to have you, Raleigh. And I first wanted to ask, tell us a little bit about this new VIP program we have here at Twin Hills, because I think this is something that a lot of churches are going to start copying once they find out both what you're doing and the type of people that you're bringing in every single weekend.
Most places of worship, cater to this idea that everyone is equal in the eyes of the Lord. And I said to myself, well, that just simply isn't true. Because if you look at the Bible, the Lord is always picking a person, whether it be Noah, whether it be his 12 apostles. He's always getting in the mix and saying, yeah, I like you. Come over here, highlighting people in a way. And And sure, he's going to talk to the masses, but he's got his crew. And what we're trying to do here is create that for Twin Hills. You know, who are the inner circle? We call it the chips. It's a kind of a VIP program, but these are Christ's most important people. It sounds better than kips or chit. You know, we added the H, you know, even though Christ is one word, we took it together. It just rolled off the tongue a little bit better. But yeah, these are Christ's most important people. And we create a luxury experience because, as you know, Indianapolis is a home. It's a second Hollywood. I mean, whether you're talking about Joyce DeWitt or Brendan Fraser or Vivica A. Fox, Steve McQueen, you know, these are all the big Indianapolis celebrities. And we want to make sure that when they come home, they have a rightful seat at the table. And, you know, we want them to be as close to the Lord as possible.
Well, I was impressed because just this weekend, and I saw him pull up in that Jag, was John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I was like, I saw you right out there, curbside, rolling out.
And I don't mean to correct
carpet.
You. I don't mean to correct you.
Okay.
He just goes by John Mellencamp. Now, Cougar he did lose the Cougar. And I just say that, because it's important to respect these people. You know, the Cougar represents a different John. And I just don't, you know, the music that John Cougar and then John Cougar Mellencamp made is very different than the music that John Mellencamp made.
Oh,
it's almost three distinct personalities. Each one of them amazing. I will say the John Cougar one is the one that I have the hardest trouble swallowing. But I like the John Mellencamp is where I'm at.
Okay. I wonder if that's because he's dating Meg's Ryan. Maybe she didn't like the Cougar thing. Maybe she...
I know. A Cougar doesn't like the Cougar, right?
Right.
Well, you know, I think the thing is this. I'm not one to know much about the animal kingdom, but I do know that if you have a name like Cougar, it is something that maybe sets a fear in a relationship that maybe you would devour the other person or something. I think you want to have a low-maintenance animal. It's a great single name to have, but once you're in a relationship, you want to drop that Cougar.
You know, especially, if you're getting in bed with the person. I mean, even those guys in Las Vegas, one of those white lions bit his head off, and they were best friends.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'll tell you, I was lucky enough, blessed enough to be at that show where that accident happened. Yeah. And I was one of those, I talk about it often because it truly was, a one of a kind experience. And now I granted, very violent act, but to see the majesty of that animal do that to a human being was, I have to say, it soiled me on seeing a lot of other live stage shows because I just can't imagine it would live up to that. And I know that's all they didn't want us to see, but what better way to see the power? I mean, we hope to see the power of the Lord. And I said, we saw the power of that animal. And, you know, normally they're doing everything that the people say, but not that night.
And I remember you mentioning this to me. So is that the show you were speaking of when you actually, that was the night that you accepted Jesus Christ, I think you mentioned to me?
I did indeed. It was a combination. That trip to Las Vegas was an interesting moment in my life, a moment where I think if we talk about rock bottoms, that might be the gravel pit of my bottom, which was Las Vegas. I lived a very different life. You know, for a long time, I was out in Los Angeles working some of the clubs. I know. Yeah. The Viper Room. And I was doing some things. I was with some people that were... You know, honestly, not right for me, not right for me at all. And, you know, and I was what they called in Hollywood, a fixer, a facilitator.
Oh.
If you needed something to be taken care of, human or otherwise, you would give me a call. And that's what I would do. And, you know, and I found myself cleaning up so many people's messes that I was in Las Vegas after we had to deal with a bachelor party gone awry. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I had a moment where I said, What am I doing? What am I doing with my life?
And did you say that out loud to the mirror?
I did indeed. I often speak to myself in the mirror. Here's the thing. I love praying, but I think when you speak to yourself in the mirror, if you speak back to yourself, you don't look like a crazy person because it looks like someone is responding to you. So I like to talk to myself in the mirror and answer myself so I don't feel so crazy. So if I am talking to myself, I am finding a mirror, a reflective surface. So I just
said,
what are you doing? Yeah. And I said, if I... Lord, I wasn't even religious at this point, but I said, God, if I am on the wrong path, Please Show Me the Light. And that was the night I went to go see that Siegfried and Roy show. And that tiger bit off that man's face. And I said, well, if that's not a sign, I should stop. And, you know, that I was like, what I was seeing was the tiger coming for me. You know, I need to stop before my face got ripped off. And that, and that's when I never went back to Los Angeles. And I got up here and I changed my name. And I moved here to Indianapolis. You know, I'm a big Kurt Vonnegut fan, so I visited the mural.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
And yeah, really, really beautiful. So that's how I got there.
So, I, you know, I hate to go back, but so when you're speaking to yourself in the mirror and you're saying, you know, oh Lord, that, you know, am I on the wrong path? So did you think of yourself when you're saying, oh Lord, and you're seeing yourself, does that sometimes get a bit confusing? I mean, I like it in movies when people, you know, exactly what a character's thinking because he's talking in the mirror. That's awesome.
Oh, I love that. I love the idea of meta text. And this, I know this because I used to work for Jerry Simpson and Don Brockheimer. I cleaned a lot of their messes. And they would always say, we don't need subtext. We need more text. And I am a big fan of text. Save the thinking for your head, not for, you know, the screen. I need to know what's going on. Now, I wasn't saying, oh Lord, like, and expecting the Lord to come to me, and now I'll be open to it, obviously. But I was just hoping, like, someone would send me a sign. I, you know, to me, it's maybe the Lord will speak through me. I don't know. But I did believe that he, you know, the Lord making that tiger attack that man was a sign. The Lord said, you know what? I must sacrifice this one man to save another man from the path of wrongdoing.
Oh,
yeah.
So
and speaking of, you know, tigers chomping and vipers in rooms and all that, forgive me if this is too personal a question, but if you were to give yourself an animal middle name, what would it be? Because I think like cougar, it's not a real biblical animal. You know, a lion
is.
No,
it isn't.
Yeah, Aslan and the lion and witch in the wardrobe. And, you know, there maybe a snake is a biblical one because of the Garden of Eden. But I'm trying to think of, like, what's a good biblical animal? Maybe a donkey?
Well, for me, I think about biblical animals. And I think, like, when you think about these big things, I talked to you about the idea of cougar being something that might follow you around in a negative way. For me, I've always seen myself, and this is so clearly, as an ocelot. You know, which is a medium-sized spotted wildcat. They normally are about 40 to 50 centimeters long in their shoulders. You know, they're like about 8 to 15 pounds. It's a vicious animal that looks cute. And I think that that's how I've often viewed myself. I can mix it up, but I'm here to be pet on the head. Like, an ocelot, it will not cross you if you don't cross it. And that, so that's what I like to think of myself. I don't know. I imagine there were ocelots around in the time of the Lord, you know, but I always see myself as an ocelot.
Now, I do want to get into some of these awesome amenities that you're providing for our chips, our, you know, our Christian important people. But, you know, I guess I just had one question since you've worked with so many celebrities and sort of been around that whole lifestyle. I mean, are celebrities just like us?
No.
Okay. That's
absolutely
what I did.
Not. No.
All right.
Celebrities are the closest thing in my mind to having a godlike figure walk on earth.
Okay.
And that's where I come in. I am going to be the fixer, the facilitator for these very important Christian people who need to, let's put it this way. If you're going to walk on water, you're going to need someone to give you a towel to dry off those feet when you're done with it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little towel at the end of it. So I brought a lot of my Hollywood ways here to Indianapolis, and I'm starting to create a couple of things here for that moment when we get our very important people. And right now we do have a system, which, you know, we've been talking about this, and I don't know how public it is, but the idea being we have people here that are chips, but they are easily knocked out if we find another one, because we want to keep it small, but we want to keep it full.
Mm-hmm.
Elite. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So people know, you know, their membership in the chips is really it's donation based. It is also where you stand in the community. You know, there's a couple factors that we keep in, but it's not a permanent assignment. You could be kicked out just like Judas. You could be like just knocked out. You know, Judas was in there. People forget that Judas was part of that team, you know, but he did not hold his end of the bargain. And so that's what we have to do. You know, same thing. You know, so we just are trying to cultivate that, and we're trying to do that and make it really fun for people to have one-on-one church sessions. We want to make sure that if they come here, they find parking right up front. You know, we have handicap spots that are disguised. Well, they look like handicap spots, but I press a button on the back and we flip it around, and that becomes a chip spot. You know,
awesome.
We also, you know, we as far as, you know, a lot of times when you're getting your services, your communion, that's not filling for a lot of the chips. You know, we'll give them more. We'll give them a bottle. We'll give them a loaf.
I saw that you had a salmon bagel on there last week. too for the early services. That was nice.
Well, because the idea is this, a lot of these other, poor churches, they're getting their wafers and it's like, what am I eating here? It's flavorless. And the idea wasn't that Jesus was giving people flavorless pieces of Melba toast. No, he was feeding them a meal, So when we talk about, multiplying the fish. Well, what's fish? Lox, and what's loaves of bread? Bagels,
right?
Lox and bagels. So we kind of like that to me also is catering back to my celebrity ways. I talk to a lot of different people and I have connections with bagel manufacturers, and we have a whole pH balance thing that we're working on in the back right now. We're going to get New York City style bagels coming out of here. And that's going to be, again, just for chips, but come the holiday time, you could order them once a year.
Now, awesome. I do want to bring up the issue that happened, I think it was last weekend, but I'm not sure who the chip was that you were escorting through the corridors underneath the church to get them up to services in the main auditorium. But I did see, as I was leaving, a whole slew of security had tackled someone and was just really giving them the business. I was just wondering what was the story there.
Well, obviously, like I said, we are right now in the process of making sure that our celebrities are treated with a lot of respect. We want to make sure that celebrities tell other celebrities to come to this church. And, we were making a play for a lovely actor. His name is Abraham Ben-Ruby. He was on ER. He played Jerry on ER.
Ooh,
he was Larry Kubiak on Parker Lewis Can't Lose. He was Dennis in Without a Paddle. He's been in Robot Chicken. He's been in a lot of different things. And we knew he was a local guy. And we said, well, we'd love to bring you out here and show you everything. And we started to show him the thing. Now, what we didn't expect was, obviously, he's made some enemies in his time. We saw something that felt like it could have been an attack on Mr. Ben-Ruby. So I sent in my team, and these are two elite UFC fighters, retired, but they took down quite violently. As a matter of fact, they broke the legs of the person who was trying to approach Mr. Ben-Ruby. We thought it was an act of violence. It turned out that person was lost and was simply confused. That's, again, I beg for forgiveness instead of, the phrase I always use is, I'd rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. Mm. And in that moment, I did unleash them. I was trying to make sure Mr. Ben-Ruby was not interrupted for the services. And we did take down one of the members. We will send an edible arrangements, and we'll make sure that that person is healing up good.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, every job comes with its challenges. And I can imagine if you're having to even replace celebrities, what do you say? Do you go to a Mellon camp and go, sorry, buddy, but Harry Styles just showed up. You're bumped.
You got to. And that is the doggy dog world of chips, and VIPs and chips are the same thing, which is, a Harry Styles is going to trump a John Mellencamp. An Abraham Ben-Ruby might trump a Joyce DeWitt. But it is all about just making sure that we are, I call myself a culture vulture. I watch all the shows. I watch Candy on Hulu. I watched, all the shows. I'm all caught up. But, if Millie Bobby Brown wants to come in here, well, I'm right. Well, excuse me. I'm watching my mouth. I'm so sorry. I said, I'm going to bump Millie Bobby Brown, for someone who's on, for a Peacock show, for example, And that's the thing. Now, if you get like two stars from Stranger Things, you got like a Galen Matarazzo. Well, that's going to be somebody that I'm going to also have to, I'm going to have to balance. All right. Well, what's the screen time like for these people? That's a thing that I make in my head on the fly, just kind of who gets in, who gets out, who gets to go past the velvet ropes.
And I don't mean to tell you your job, but I think if an NBA Pacer shows up, they should bump anybody because they're going to be so tall down in the VIP section that everyone in the auditorium can see a Pacer because he's going to be 7 foot tall.
Believe me, I agree with this. And this has been something that for me has been very interesting to do, because what I love about the NBA players when they come, whether it's, Buddy Hield or Tyrese Halliburton, what we can do is we can attribute every win that they make from coming to service. So what we do is we have like a win-lose chart. We have that newsletter to see like what people are up to. But this is also like, all right, well, how's the Indiana Pacers record? What's going on here? Now, for example, if someone gets fired, well, maybe they didn't go to church enough. I don't know, so we'll see.
I love going on like IMDb and seeing like people's IMDb score, and it's basically kind of what you guys are doing is just like, yeah, hey, buddy, I'm sorry, you've dropped. You're out of here. We've got to get somebody, more well-known like
Abraham Ben-Ruby. I'll tell you this much. The IMDb star meter, if you're not familiar, like you said, it is a fluctuating graph that shows you who is hot and who is not. And I think, you know, God has to have that same kind of star meter. You know, it's a follower meter. Who is doing the Lord's work? Now, how can I goose that? Now, I worked in a time in Hollywood where there was no IMDb star meter. It was more about when you got in the trades or what you did. And, you know, okay. The idea is like, you know, if you can stay in the trades, good or bad, it's better for business. So what I like to do is say God has picked people. Now, if you can donate, you're going to go higher on that list. If you go over to the water park, if you you maybe have a casual photo op at the Chick-fil-A, you're going to go higher up on the GIDB. You know, this is kind of his, you know, Jesus's IMDb star meter. You know, it's sort of his follower meter.
I love that.
That is so cool. And Raleigh, how are you supposed to act around celebrities? Because the one time I was passing you and the fridge, Super Bowl Shuffle, Chicago Bear, the
yes,
fridge,
yes,
back in the green room, I just said, the fridge. And you looked at me and you said, don't say anything.
I gave you a look that I always call it, I don't know if we'll ever speak again. That's a look that I gave you.
The
look
of, I saw that.
Yeah, intimidation, fear, and extreme disappointment.
And I didn't know if it was because he doesn't go by fridge anymore or if you're just not supposed to talk to famos.
Well, I'll give you a couple rules. First of all, the idea is you aren't supposed to talk to anyone until they speak to you. The only thing you can say, first of all, there's a misnomer, right? Don't look a celebrity in the eye. Well, that is ridiculous. That is an impossible task. What you need to do is you need to look at them in the eye and acknowledge them silently.
Okay.
And then go about your business. So I go, I know this is an audio medium, but I will make eye contact and be like, I see you.
Okay.
You see me, and then I move on. I acknowledge your presence, but I'm not going to interact with you. I always say COVID rules really helped us in this because is 6 foot difference is what I've always said. You keep a 6 foot difference, you know, in a circle, draw a circle around the person 6 feet, stay away from them at 6 feet. And what I always like to do is if you're going to interact with a celebrity, you need to be doing your research. So for example, you said Refrigerator Perry, William Refrigerator Perry, we love him, right? We know he's a very special person, but here's the thing. Everyone knows that he was a defensive tackle. He was with the Chicago Bears, right? But what don't you know? So what I would recommend is whenever you see a celebrity, you do some deep dive, and I call it a deep Google,
okay. All
right? And you kind of find something interesting about their life, right?
Okay.
So you start to like look around and go, okay, hey, Fridge, I really got to tell you, I was so surprised that you lost celebrity boxing against Manute Bol back in 2002.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's something he's never spoken about, and he's going
sure
to be immediately engaged.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
you see,
yeah.
You want to engage them in a way where they don't feel like they've talked, like, oh, Fridge, tell me about the Super Bowl Shuffle. Oh, my gosh, she's sick and tired of that. Oh, Fridge, tell me about, when you were a G.I. Joe. Oh, I'm bored. I'm bored with that, right? But if you do say, oh, my gosh, Fridge, in 1986, when you starred as yourself in an episode of The A-Team with Hulk Hogan, that must have been a real interesting time. Tell me some stories from the set. Then he'd be like, oh my gosh, that's something you have to find a very specific thing to engage them on. And that I feel like is the secret. But you're doing that from a 6 foot difference. And then when they answer your question, you say, thank you, sir, ma'am. And then you walk away.
Okay. You know, it's so funny you're bringing this up because, and I hate to bring back, the Siegfried and Roy thing, but mm-hmm. what you're saying, I watched the whole documentary about that and what you're saying about making eye contact and establishing the perimeter. I mean, these are all things that I remember those guys saying when they were working with Tigers.
Oh, well, I believe that we are all working with tigers in life, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We are always working with something that can hurt us. And whether that is our pride, our envy, whether it's our sins, anything that we have. And then there are physical things too, monster trucks or, speedboats, high cholesterol diets, all those things can kill us. So we have to always treat everything with respect. I don't know if that answers your question as much as it says, I treat my life as if I'm constantly dealing with tigers, knowing that at any moment my face can be ripped off. And so if I treat every person as if my face can be ripped off at any moment, yes, it's going to cause me to act in certain ways. Like when I unfortunately took down Mabel Sinclair, who have both of her legs broken, and she is going to be in a little bit of traction for a while. But I'd rather be a pound of prevention as worth an ounce of cure. I don't know what that phrase was, but I guess, again, I'd rather put the tiger down then give the tiger the benefit of the doubt. I guess that's
another
question.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And I guess a follow-up to that would be, what are those nail marks on your face from a tiger, or are those actually from a human lady?
They are claws. Well, my wife will be happy that you said it. They are my wife's. My wife is, as you know, well, maybe you don't know, has had a tremendous amount of success with doing nails. And she's been doing nails in the salon here.
Yeah.
She does a Christ imagery on nails.
Yes.
And each nail, you know, whether you can have the Ten Commandments on your 10 fingernails.
Oh, beautiful. That is
great. It's absolutely stunning. But her nails, one of the things that people love about her is that besides that weirdo in the Guinness Book of World Records with the curly nails, she has some of the longest nails we've ever seen.
Awesome.
And you know, we both treat each other like we're tigers. And so when she thought I was coming at her, I was coming out to give her a kiss. She thought I was coming out there to attack her. And she did slice at my face. And that's my fault for lowering my guard around my own wife.
Oh, is that your wife that's doing nails in his hands nail bar down in the sort of the spa section near the VIP or this, the chips entrance?
She is doing that 2 days a week there. She also has her own shop, but that she is coming out, and that's her charity work here for the church. She does charge, but a charity because, you know, she's coming here. She's transporting herself and her equipment. But we are taking back, and she always says, I'm taking back nails. I think that we have had this negative opinion about nails and, you know, crucifixions and stuff like that. Well, maybe we could take back the power of the word nails.
I think that's amazing, too, that you can, you know, pull up if you're a chip, you can pull up into the valet, you can walk in, and you're basically into a spa experience before you even hit the first service. You can get your nails done. I believe I saw you could do a facial as well.
Most people will pull up for services, you know, probably 9:45 for 10 o'clock service or whatever, you know, you have 15 minutes before and make sure you get your park and make sure you get your seats, make sure you get your drinks. What we try to do is create a full chip experience, which is you are greeted by a person who is wearing horse blinders. They are specially retrofitted horse blinders, so you cannot look someone in the eyes. You are looking forward, but you know that you are cut off. They will take your car. They will then that car will then be detailed fully.
Wow.
And if you want, you know, dents will be taken out, paint will be redone, anything like that. We'll be doing it all. We'll charge it up if it's a hybrid or something like that, a Tesla, and then you will be then brought through the red carpet. Well, you know, we call it the red seat carpet, and you walk into a beautiful spa situation. Every spa service is Bible themed. You know, like I did talk about earlier about walking across water, we do have a water effect. So you get into a cooling pond. You know, it's like you walk in there and then the seas part. And then once you're in the center, we then let the water just envelop you. You get a nice, you know, kind of a cool down. And then we move you into the next segment. We treat it as the trials of Christ when he was in there for 40 days and 40 nights. It's a 40-day, 40-night spa treatment. Each treatment is 5 to 10 minutes long. And then you have traveled in the footsteps of Christ, and you're able to leave refreshed. We go to obviously the commissary, but not the commissary that most people go to. This is a special commissary where we have weight staff, maitre d', everything there on the menu is completely biblical friendly, things that you might find again. You know, we are going to give you a lot of loaves of bread. We're going to turn the water into wine. We have active magicians on staff to do all that sort of stuff. And then about after that, after you're fake, you then will go for services. You have the option of watching it on a screen in a room privately so no one can watch you. You can also have a hologram of yourself projected into the church. You can this is a lot of different options that we have. And or you can just actually sit there you know, and that's something that we offer to everybody.
I love that we've really been focusing the IMAGs on the on the chip section, the special section, because when you see a celebrity come up on the IMAG screen, I mean, it's like, hey, I didn't even pay to go to church this week and I am getting to watch, you know, Ben Vereen. What was the guy's name?
Abraham Ben Ruby. Yeah, you get to see him on that thing. And we do have a special section now we're working on where even if we don't have celebrities there, we are being loading in pictures. So it looks like they are actually there. So we'll have like a live cut two of them. And we are talking, this is something we are going to be pitching in our next meeting to y'all, but we want to involve the Kiss Cam. We want to start doing that sort of stuff. We want to have a lot more fun competitions and things like that. But the Kiss Cam is going to be something that we're going to have a lot of fun with and find different ways to do that.
Well, I think when people see celebrities at church, they realize how cool God is. And it's so important. And I have a quick question and then a quick role play before we let you out of here. One question is, as long as you're 6 feet from the celebrity, is it okay to just watch them continuously, to just sort of stare? I mean, they like attention, right?
They're going to like that. As long as you're 6 feet away, you can keep your eyes on them. That's something that they're used to feeling. But once you cross that 6 feet barrier, that's when you become a threat. You know, I will say this. One of the things I've found is when you're a celebrity, when you were in Hollywood or New York or Atlanta, which is the Hollywood of the South, you have this incredible guilt. You have done something to get this level of fame. You've made some deal with the devil. We don't know what that is. You know, you've partaken in certain things. You have hurt someone. We know that that is true. So what we really try to do is we like to isolate that and say, hey, you want to get rid of that? You want to sleep well at night? And that's something that's why we're getting a lot more of these celebrities in here, because we are preying on what I know to be true, which is they are wounded people who want, they want a path of, the least resistance to get into the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay.
I love that.
So quick role play, and then you give me notes because I Googled.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
In case I got to, I like comedy. See, I love to laugh. And so I Googled wholesome comedy and it came up Louis Anderson. And so I Googled an unknown thing about him. And so tell me if you were walking by with Louis Anderson,
R.I.P.
If he wasn't in heaven. Yeah. And
well,
I said,
let's not just guess, you know, we don't know for sure. Oh, I've never seen that church. So we know, we don't know.
Well, I would say, hey, Mr. Anderson, I loved when you did that American recreation of the Australian high dive show Splash, and you rolled right off that high dive and then got discombobulated under the water, started swimming in the wrong direction, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar saved you. What was it like to be pulled out of the depths by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I'm going to now freeze you
and
say that was almost good. That was almost good.
Oh, thank you.
I was really impressed with your specifics.
Okay.
Now I will.
But don't
say
end
this.
With a question.
I think you can end with a question. I think.
Okay.
What I was having trouble doing was understanding where the question was, and so I want to be very, I would be very quick with him, So I would say, something like this, Louis. But I would know him, so I would call him Louis. And Louis, you have to discern, there are certain celebrities that you call by their first name and certain celebrities you call by their last name. Now, I would put Louis on the Louis list, not on the
name.
Mr. Anderson list.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So for me, I'd say, if you wanted to ask that Splash question, maybe it would be like, Louis, what was it like to be rescued by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the hit ABC reality television series Splash? Bam. Like, that's it. You familiarized him too much with things that he already knows. So I think you got to cut to what you want. What do you want the answer to?
Oh, well, I think that is so great. And now, hey, we all know what we'll do when we see John Mellencamp, Abraham Rubio, walking around the halls of Twin Hills.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Abraham Rubio. That is Abraham Bam Rubio. I think you mentioned the person who's in Human Centipede, which we have an email out to right now to join us in church, because obviously being involved in that, there's a lot of guilt there. I'm sure he would like to be saved.
Raleigh Cheer was played by Paul Scheer. Check out his great podcast, How Did This Get Made? And follow him at Paul Scheer. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.